Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, kiddos, let's get into it. Part two.
What scene are we on?
Now we're at the racquetball court, which I thought was a really funny
scene. This was good, and the only thing is, if it was today, it would have been pickleball, but respect to racquetball.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
It was funny.
There is no privacy on a racquetball.
True. That was very clever bit, too, that they're just sitting there, and the people come in, and they're like, no, we have this court longer.
Right, thank you. Appreciate it.
That was a very Gilmore-y, that felt good to me. I was like, I like that.
You know, and this is where, you know, Lauren has such great comedic timing and such great skills and an ease of delivery, you know, and the speed of delivery. It's all so great. And it's when I said in this scene, I said, God, why? I just wish she had better stuff to do.
I also thought she sorry for me for judging. She looks amazing in this episode. Yeah. Like, she's getting prettier and cooler and just like physically looks so Lorelai-ish. So that's why, like, maybe some of the awkward parts, I was like, this is awkward. But the racquetball was good. It felt authentic to me. It felt less weird. Mm-hmm. That's sort of where I was at. I was like, okay, that was my problem with the episode. I was sort of felt like I was being, you know, step on the gas, off the gas. I'm like, you know, like when someone's a bad driver, because I'm like, that was weird. No, that was great. That was weird. Why is part of this so off and part of it isn't?
Yeah.
And I could tell that Lauren is probably a very good tennis player and very good racquetball player, but she faked it. You could tell she was faking it.
That's funny.
It was hard for her to act like
to be bad. That's funny.
Yeah, you could tell she was good at it.
Because I sometimes see people playing tennis in TV shows and you're like, oh, they had to really try to act like they were good.
Right.
They had to take some tennis lessons.
They had to really figure out how to shoot that so they seem good.
Right. There's all those tennis movies where people serve and the ball goes about 2 miles an hour. That's like, oh, there's an ace, you know, wow. What power. That swing. Or like a bad baseball swing in a baseball movie. Oh, yeah, the ball hit a 500.
Right. You would so be like able to watch on a baseball movie and be like, that person doesn't even know what they're doing.
I don't even know what's going on, man. She's hitting the eyeball with a racquetball.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes. And she has the injury and they're going to put the peas on it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
And, cute injury, actually. She looked like so good with the injury. I was like, wow.
Right. So then they're down. She's down in the kitchen. She's getting. And this is when you start. I started feeling very uncomfortable about this. She's getting rid of some of Luke's things in such a casual way.
She's so weird.
And it's just like. This is the episode's off. This is doesn't feel like the show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's something being forced upon us here.
Well, yeah, because again, we've like obviously I've seen her sleep with Chris and walk the whole ultimatum thing, but they still haven't said it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little premature.
When do we get the awkward call from Christopher?
Well, now we're at Luke's.
What else happens in that pee scene? Anything else significant? For some reason, I can't remember.
She's getting rid of Luke's stuff.
She's getting rid of his stuff, his little bathroom
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Weird.
His shaving cream.
Super weird.
You always start with the bathroom.
Be nice
and nobody's doing that the next day.
Toothbrush goes.
Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Nobody's doing that the next day, by the way. Nope.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah,
a little bit. Not even 24 hours.
Now let's move on to the red light event. The entire town.
Oh, this was iconic.
Is there Patty?
Patty's the star.
And Luke is driving Taylor's. They're going to do a demonstration.
Kirk is driving Taylor's fancy old car,
64 T-Bird.
Yeah, and he's all got gloves on, and he's all
he's evil Knieveling the whole thing,
My God.
So then it starts. And he gets flashed 3 times in the eyes.
Oh my God.
Kirk goes blind from the camera flashes from the red light camera and takes a sharp right turn right into Luke's diner. Destroys the place.
I mean,
how did they shoot that scene, by the way? Like, where was that?
That's a great question.
That was at Luke's diner. They actually did.
Oh, and then they had to rebuild it.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they didn't. Yeah, they actually crashed the car in.
Oh, wow.
I thought maybe it was a sound, like just the drive up was a sound stage or something.
Oh, no.
No, that looked like they're just on the set that we all been to and just right.
And that's like one take. Like you have
good point.
That's one take.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a pushing Jess in the lake one take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
or smashing the wall with a sledgehammer one take. Yeah.
Brutal. It was like
I just felt so bad.
God.
Yeah,
like Luke never wants to be involved in any of Taylor's stuff to begin with, and now
Lucas doesn't want to. Lucas.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be involved, and now this crashes right into his diner.
Yeah, that was rough and funny.
But then we get the Luke victory. Kirk victory coming out unscathed, uninjured. What does he say? Does he scream out?
Okay.
I'm okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I think it's later, but Lulu's like totally no, like all she cares about is taking care of Kirk, and like the entire diner is ruined and there's just a car stuck in there. And it's just like,
poor Lulu.
Caesar had some good moments in this too. Oh, God.
It's not the kind of thing you see on Gilmore Girls, but here we have it. Here's yet another thing that is foreign.
Yeah, but it felt that it still
is an actual a crash.
Yeah, it was outlandish, but I still wasn't like it. I still was okay with it. I'm giving that a pass. I had many other.
Yeah, that scene could have fit in any other episode.
Yeah, I'm okay
that,
with
that storyline. Kind
but
of worked.
I think here why it worked here is because you already feel so bad for Luke considering everything that's happened. Now you're like, this guy just can't win today. Like,
right.
It is not his day.
No
month or year.
All right, now we're back at Lorelai's house, and it's mother daughter and.
So this is where I had a flag on the episode.
Talk to
she tells Lorelai about the crash. And
So that was
and
my
she
flag.
Continues tossing all of Luke's stuff.
Yeah, Lorelai would have gone running to the diner. Like it just did not track.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tara.
I think it was really weird that Rory didn't have any sympathy towards Luke. She was so immature in this episode. And like, yeah, it's funny. Like we're laughing about it now. Like, oh my God, like Kurt crashed. But I think there was nothing like it took Lorelai to say, wait, he ran into Luke's like into Luke's diner until Rory's like, yeah, but like, you know, he was fine or whatever. She just acted like such a child there. Knowing that last night her mom broke up with Luke, she didn't say anything.
Right. And she also loves the guy and he's like a father to her.
Exactly. And so like, yeah, like Kirk crashing and because this went wrong is funny, but the fact that she just had zero sympathy is where I had to put a flag in the writing because I was like, this is so not like Rory.
I so agree with you. I'm going to throw all my flags after the fact to support that because it's like, is this a cartoon?
10 flags.
Well, is this a cartoon or is it a serious drama? Is it a light comedy? What is going on here?
Yeah.
Right.
Because really, it's like, Tara, you're so right. You really hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just getting rid of all this stuff because I'm a cartoon character. And I don't have any feelings anymore. And we never really had a full relationship for, you know, 10,000 years.
And he's also her best friend. It's like,
he crashed in the diner. Oh, well, I'm still getting rid of his stuff. Let's get rid of the Bobbit and all of the. You know, what is happening with this? This breakup is so abrupt. It's so cold.
Yeah.
It's so final. There's no emotion in it. There's no any
it's
kind
so
of
affection.
Final,
but like also like not at the same time. It's like happening.
It just happened yesterday. Like that's the other thing is like time hasn't
passed.
It didn't
even happen.
Can I say something to see what you guys think?
And I gave him an ultimatum and he didn't tell me to, you know, this kind of thing. And then that's it. And I'm done and it's over.
It's an eensy weensy jump the shark. Like what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's
you think they just wanted to move ahead? Do you think because season 7, episode 1 starts the day after, they just kind of wanted to like skip over a bunch? Because like we didn't come back from summer break this season.
You mean like kind of just get some,
just get through it.
Kind of like, I don't know.
So maybe the studio thought that the Luke wasn't that important of a character. This relationship wasn't that important to the show.
No,
I don't know. It's
going to toss it away. And Lorelai and Rory are going to be go along the path heavily after and just an afterthought and just get rid of it and all that. Cause that's the cartoonish nature of it for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't track.
I think mainly they just want to get through this breakup storyline and then move on to what the next, like whether they're getting back together or whatever it is. It just felt like Amy said, very rushed.
But why would they want to get through something like this that the fans have invested so much into for so long? And if they're going to do it right. I mean, take your time with it. This is like the kind of stuff where, you know, people get nominated with that because the writing is so rich and the feelings are so deep and there's so much humor that could come. So handled by an Amy and Dan, right? This is a different episode.
It's a little messy, this episode. Yeah. It's a little messy. Here's something I find interesting. season 7
emotional logic.
Yeah, it lacks some logic.
It's emotionally illogical.
Season 7 lost 2 million viewers.
Oh, is that right?
From the end of season 6. And here's what's interesting about that. It's not like they watched this episode and then never came back. They didn't come back from season 6. Like, it's not like they watched it like we are and we're like, this sucks. Right, I don't want to watch this show anymore. They just gave up after season 6.
I mean,
the people were watching this show because they believed so strongly in this relationship between Luke and Lorelai of idyllic love. Idealized love, the perfect love, right? Almost the perfect man who will suffer endlessly for his love. And when he finally gets it and they are finally together, this is what they do. They don't even let them get married. This is what they do. So it must have felt like, and we can talk to the fans about this and they'll respond, how big a betrayal this must have been for their mm-hmm. loyalty and for mm-hmm. their, you know, their dedication to the show. It must have felt like they were just getting stabbed in the back. Like, what did I spend 6 years? What just happened? I just spent 6 years giving this show every good feeling and every hope and every aspiration that I had for romantic love. And they're doing this? His stuff is getting thrown in the garbage after she cheats on him? I mean, that is
a
nuclear bomb dropped on the audience.
Seems like
on the sensibilities of on the morals of the audience.
Mm-hmm. People really saw season 7 on DVD and on streaming because mm-hmm. they didn't really watch it in its first run. I mean, only 4.5 million people watched it. And we know that it's had such a bigger life on DVD and streaming. I don't know. It's interesting to think about. Like, I don't know. I like season 7 more than I liked the movies. I hate to say. I mean, I know we're 24 weeks from talking about the movies. I had a lot of issues with the movies.
I'm actually the opposite, Amy. I actually usually stop watching season 7 and I enjoyed the movies.
And do you rewatch the movies?
I have, yeah.
I've only watched them all once and there were moments, but man, there are things I hate.
I mean, there are definitely things I don't like about the movies, but I think that and going back to what you said about how many people dropped off after season 6, when we recapped the last episode, I was like, I don't want to watch the next episode because it's so sad. Like, I don't want to see what's coming. And for us, it's just 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. For other people, it's, months. I don't know, 4 or 5 months later. And it's like, no, I'm disappointed in what happened and I don't want to come back to it.
Yeah.
But I think the difference with the movies is it was more of nostalgia. Yes, and that's why I like going back to it.
I was way more excited about the movies. Wait, this seems like a good moment. Danielle, will you read what Suzanne's, Suzanne can't talk, we did have her give her thoughts. And then we can talk about that as Scott continues to go through the
episode. Suzanne, she said, overall, the episode made me profoundly sad. Luke and Lorelai both want the same thing, each other, but they've both screwed it up so badly that they can't see the way out. More specifically, Lorelai's analogy about hanging on the bumper was perfect, but she should have been saying it to Luke. I love the visual metaphor of Lorelai sitting in her empty living room and Luke sitting at the diner with all the debris around him, a true representation of their lives. And the scene where she tells him she slept with Chris is brutal. Definitely some of Scott's best work in the entire series.
What a nice thing she just said.
Wow. I guess she didn't get that raise. She's a crafty negotiator.
She's in quotes, sick.
It's a tactic from the law firm. Listen, act like you're sick. Compliment them. You'll get what you want. Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing free samples. It's springtime and that means allergies. Mine have been throwing me off and I need something that works fast. That's where Astapro comes in. It's the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. And it is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter spray you can get. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Plus, it is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. So if you suffer from allergies like I do, get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. Visit AstroProAllergy.com. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so now we're at the house, and Lorelai's telling Rory to go to London. She's there like, just go to London.
Right.
And just
she's
go.
All, she's all, you know, jazzed. Yeah.
Who cares what the rocket means? Just go to London. Get on a plane. I can go to London. Yeah, you can go. All right, so now we have the scene after that, Luke sitting amongst the wreckage of his life, as I wrote down. And I thought that was a very poignant moment, and I'm glad they didn't linger on it, because it was the perfect amount of time to, for the camera just to pan by him, and there you go. You get it. Great storytelling. Love the stuff that tells the story without the dialogue, because there's so much dialogue here. And that's rare when you see a scene like that in this show. So now, this is... So we have Rory... and Lorelai in whose bedroom is she in? They're in.
Oh, yes. Is this where she runs up to Lorelai's bedroom and tells her, I know what the rocket is?
Right. Rock. Right. Yeah. Exactly. She'd been doing her research, the Twilight Zone episode, suspended animation, True Love, Rocket Boy, the whole thing.
That was cool. That was cool.
That was good. Yeah. She's researching her theory.
Right.
She
relatable.
Wants to know what's the rocket mean.
She's Googling it up and down.
Relating it to Logan's favorite Twilight Zone
episode. And good acting by her, by Rory, yep. Alexis, yep. Of being ecstatic when you figure it out. And not only are you ecstatic, you figured out, it's such a lovely sentiment. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm all jazzed. This is great. Go to London, go call him.
Right. So it's a good way to set us up for what's about to happen, yes. Which is the phone call.
Which was a balloon pop.
Which sure was. And I'm thinking, man, I'd like to go to Paris and Rome for 2 weeks on a getaway. That sounds good to me. But for a young girl, I guess that's not what she wanted. But she...
No, she does want it. She just doesn't want it 6 months, or not even then, 7-8 months from now.
Or right. I think it just made her anxious, too, to be like...
Arr. I get that. I get it.
Yeah, he just needed to step up and be very clear. I want you here. Let's go.
Yeah, she could have too, and just said, "Hey, I want to come now."
It's not on her. It's on him.
I didn't think about this earlier, but it also could be like she doesn't want to interfere with him and his dad.
Right. But she didn't really. Well, she's not afraid of his dad. She's not afraid of his dad. She stood up to his dad.
And they're done that. But his relationship with his dad,
and I think his future as well.
Yeah. Right?
So how committed is she, right? To at least have the talk. And I think there's some missing pieces here that we all recognize that we wish we had as cover, but we don't have them.
We did forget to mention that Christopher called and asked her out to dinner.
Oh, I think. I was so stunned.
It was
that I didn't even so write it down.
I think I was like this,
and I just sort of dropped the pen. Like
it was sweet. Like at least he's not.
In what world, Christopher?
Like, it's illusion.
It was like a gag. It was like this with the pen, and then
Is he so delusional that he does not know what is happening?
It's, like, it's amazing.
Come on.
It's just amazing.
Oh, like, you think you're back together, this woman, even if it was like, let's say, hypothetically, if it was something in the future, she just broke up her engagement 12 right. hours
he's
ago.
He's not like, thinking of that at all.
He's not aware of that, is he? Yeah, he is aware of that.
No, he is. I mean, he knows
that. He's totally aware and does not totally aware. Give a
look, I would rather him call than not call. Like, we don't want him to not call. Then he's just like kind of a jerk. But he really is so into her, and she's so not right now.
See, no, I'd rather him not call. Like, they're going to talk eventually, but
if he's going to call, say, hey, like, are you doing okay? You know?
Well, that would have been better.
But I mean, what do you expect? Has this guy ever played his cards right ever in any situation? No. This guy's dealt aces in his life, and he keeps just blowing it. Keeps folding.
Hey, Lore, want to go to dinner? Like, no.
It's always Lore.
Yeah, so maybe you come by and make you something. My hair's getting a little long. Maybe you give me another buzz cut. Anyway, so now we have the
my heart just breaks.
The scene where the stake goes into the heart of the vampire and finally kills it. Luke pulls up in his truck like Jed Clampett in the Beverly Hillbillies and says, you know, Lorelai, I'm gonna get you out of here, take you to
this
Beverly.
Is where I blurred this scene, the two Luke scenes. I've got them so blurred.
I'm gonna take you to Maryland and marry you, and then we're gonna go to Vermont for a week, and we're gonna set up tents, have our honeymoon, and it's just like, God, I did not recognize that man.
I recognized him coming and trying.
But not what he said about Marilyn and eloping.
Right. And just like, And just like almost caving, right? It's like, be true to the fact that you have a kid and this is difficult. And that's okay. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to just do a 180. Like, stay true to the fact, but communicate it. I love you. You're everything to me. I'm so, it's not even overwhelmed. I'm so like, I'm lost in my situation right now. It's so big.
And this is why it doesn't track. One of the reasons this doesn't track is because what were Amy and Dan so clever about? They always did the small thing in the big moment and the big thing in the small moment. They always did the opposite. They always gave you something you never saw coming never expected. So the move here
is so true
would be that Luke breaks it off because he sees how unhappy she is. It's the noble thing to do because I really need to get to know my kid better. This isn't fair to you. So I'm going to break this off so you can go live your life. And it's the hardest thing I ever did. It would have been the greatest scene ever written.
That is a really great call out. They did the small thing. And I think that's why this episode is so weird. Because it's like not, there's like some subtleties that are missing. Whereas in the end of season 6, we want him to do the big thing. We want him, no, stop. But he doesn't do it because that's not what he does.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not only does he not fight for her in the right way, he lets her dump him.
Right.
So he's out of touch. So they're completely disconnected because of his kid. No, do the noble thing. It saves her character. It gives her dignity. She retains her dignity. He retains his dignity. You're right. Jump in the shark a little bit.
Jump in the shark a little bit.
The shark's jumping us. Sorry.
The diner stuff tracked when he's in the diner and they're like, do you want to move the car? Keep the car. Move the car. Keep the car. And he's not talking about the car at all.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't make these decisions. This is so hard for me. Obviously, we know it's not about the car. He doesn't give a crap about the car or the diner or any of it right now. So that was... I liked that parallel. We've seen that with Luke before. So that was sort of interesting. But you're right. Like, it's too much for us with Luke with the truck all filled with weird crap and like, let's just go now. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, you should be a little mad, actually, Luke, that she broke up with you and gave you this ultimatum. Like, I don't know. That not mad, but hurt is a better word, maybe.
You know what's unfortunate? And I'm going to make a blanket statement here. It's probably going to get me in a lot of trouble. But here's what I think. I think productions, whether they're in film and television, who value the opinions of their cast and versus those who don't, I think you get better television and film when people, directors, producers, mm-hmm. whoever, studios are open to the ideas of their cast.
It's so interesting.
And I know Lauren had a million ideas.
And they didn't do them?
I don't know whether they did them or not, but I know she was very, very vocal. And you know, I had some issues at times. But you need to be in an environment where that kind of thing is welcome because it's kind of rare.
It's interesting you say that. I was listening to the Glee rewatch podcast, and Amber Riley talked about this the other day where they wanted her character to do something and she went in and said no. And I think they tried to convince her. And again, I'm paraphrasing. And she said no. And the character didn't do it. They went with what the actor felt was authentic to the mm-hmm. character. And I thought, mm-hmm. oh, that's pretty cool.
Because you know, they may have their ideas, even if they created the character and they write the character, doesn't necessarily mean all of the time that they know the character better than the person that's portraying the character. Mm-hmm. Ah, summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you think a show is better, like Barry, for example, where somebody give me his name, Henry Winkler and the guy from Saturday Night Live, that plays Barry. He wins all those awards.
Barry. I never saw.
Come on, somebody. Bill Hader. Thank you so much. So Bill Hader, like, is the star of the show, writes the show, and directs the show, right? It probably is such a hugely successful show and so critically acclaimed because, like you're saying, the actor is the character. He's also writing the and directing it, right? So you're not, and I'm sure if he got notes, he'd be like, thank you for your notes, ignore. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to speak for Bill Hader, but you see what I'm saying? It's like, I wonder if Lauren wrote the show and was directing it, if it would have felt more authentic to the character. It does feel a little screwy here.
No, not necessarily write the show. Just sit down. Let's have a talk. This is how I feel where the character should go. Some of these narratives just don't work for me. I'm concerned about it. You can't really open your mouth unless you're a producer on the show.
Right. Would you have felt scared to do it?
It's politically risky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
has that changed over time?
Actually, I had a lot of freedom on the first year of Sullivan's Crossing. And I think the results in terms of what I was doing are apparent for all to see. And I noticed it. Second season is a little more difficult because then there's more studios involved now. Now it's a hit. Mm-hmm, and now it's like, well, you know, so your voice gets sort of cut a little
muted,
bit.
Muted, yeah.
Muted, yeah, it's a better way to say
it. It's interesting.
But if you're not a producer on the show, it's hard to have your input, you know, taken in all of the time or even a little bit of the time. So I get that
because, too, like, if you're thinking about, like, if you got bills to pay and kids to send to college, you're a little bit more hesitant to be that guy that or girl that's like, hey, no, because you don't want to, like, lose your job.
There are a lot of people involved in this business that have no idea what good storytelling is, who are in positions of power. That's the problem. Because let me tell you one thing. The great actors, the serious actors, know storytelling better than all of them. They just do. And I think if they're listened to, their productions improve by a magnitude, And that's what I'll say.
Interesting.
Yeah. They have to be part of the creative process if you want a great product, if you want a great show or a great film. They have to be part of the conversation. Their input has to be listened
to. Yeah, I almost would have thought that in season 7, you lose Amy and Dan. You know, obviously the guy that took over is great and knows what he's doing. I think I would have been like, hey, this is gnarly scary. Like, we just lost our writer, director, creator. Let's all put our heads together and figure out how to make the best show. I think you would have thought they would have wanted the actors at that point more because you know the characters better than anybody other than probably Amy and Dan.
You know what? Nobody wants to listen to the actors most of the time because the writers, you know, they feel like they're smarter than everybody. And, you know, they'll be damned if they're going to take a note from an actor. That's kind of how they look at it. And I think the reason that happens is writers, for the most part, are the most looked down upon a group in the creative process, in the business. They're not given a great deal of respect. They're interchangeable. Actors are interchangeable. Writers, actors, it's kind of, you know.
Brings me back to my Bill Hader theory that, like, if you are the writer who's also the star, you'd be so much more open to hearing from the actors.
But if you're a writer, director, creator, producer, then you get respect. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
If you're just a writer and you're on a staff, you're not getting a lot of respect. If you're just an actor and you're not a producer, if you're not a huge star, you're not getting a lot of respect.
And Gilmore was a show where you say every word the way it is written.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
And you know what? It wasn't a problem because the words were so great.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I get to say that. It was like Aliens in America didn't really do anything ratings wise, but we got to say those words and it was a thrill to go home and read those scripts. You know, you're like, wow, I get to say these words. This is really cool. Great writing, you know, great writers. But when that isn't the case, and it doesn't, you know, and it's, and these are subtle gradations. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to ruin a script, right?
Clearly, because this is almost a great episode.
Yeah. See how much great stuff there is in it.
Right.
And how darn entertaining it is.
I enjoyed it.
Right.
I definitely had my time where I was like, would rather have five more seasons of this than end at season seven.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
But they wrecked the love. They wrecked the love story for 7 million people.
And I've never had the ick from Christopher until now. I'm just saying.
Calamine lotion helps with that.
Have we finished the episode?
Yeah, it's done. It's over. Yep. Yeah.
So what do we think of it?
Luke takes in the I slept with Christopher line. He takes that in non-verbally.
Yep, out.
And he,
I don't blame him.
See you later.
That was that's not a great. She did not make a great call on that.
Yeah.
No, man.
Oy.
I just feel bad for the fans. Back in 2007, 2006, they had to go through that. I feel
well. They didn't even show up to watch it. That's what I think is so interesting too. I mean, that 2 million.
Yeah,
people,
but they've seen. Who's ever been exposed to that? I feel bad for.
Of course, but like it's weird that 2 million people just didn't even show up. And I wonder, like, if we talk to the writers, like. I wonder if they were so stressed because like we've talked about, you've said Amy and Dan took their great scripts and polished them up. And like, here's what I can tell you. And like, everybody can be like, Amy sucks. But like, we take things, Danielle and I, our job is we take things that our team writes, right? And we polish them up. And sometimes they come to us kind of like, mediocre at best, right? And I'm not tooting our horns, but like that is our job. We are paid to do that, to polish it up. And they lost their polishers. So maybe they were so stressed and maybe they even are like, hey, we're not bringing our A game because we don't even this is our A game. They took it to the A+.
Yeah.
And now they don't have that.
I wonder if Amy and Dan came back, what would have happened? This season.
They weren't coming back.
But if they did, how Gilmore Girls would have ended versus how it actually did.
Well, we know how it would have ended because they ended the movies in the way they wanted to end the series.
Okay.
And what I can tell you is the way they end the movie would have been iconic way to end this. No, I'm not going to give it away. The way they end the movies, to me, would have been the most iconic way to end the series. It would have been epic. It's weird how they ended it in the movies. Scott's like, totally got his head.
Can I come back in?
Yeah. God, also, you know how the movies end. You were there.
I'm assuming something with the daddy, not knowing who the daddy is.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you it would have been a great end to season seven where you're like, what?
So basically the movies should have been season seven is what you're saying.
Well, no, because there's weird things in the movies too, but just the very end is
the show should have ended after season six. And then that's it. No season seven.
You guys, there's so many things coming. You're going to hate so much more than this episode.
It's going to be fun.
I'm already saying this one 7 out of 10.
Yeah, what are we giving? What are you giving this 7 out of 10 scrambled eggs? I think I'm 7. I was gonna say 6.5, but I think I'm 7 red light cameras. So I'll say 6.8 red light cameras.
Danielle, what was your measuring stick?
Scrambled eggs.
Oh, dang. Okay, that was mine. I'm going to give it a 6.5 T-birds.
Oh, good one, but it's our lowest scores ever.
Yeah, I'm giving it an absolute nuclear zero. No, it did not register at all. Destruction of two main characters. I mean, obliteration. the fallout of that, the radiation.
And did we not even have Emily and Richard? That was weird.
No,
too.
We didn't.
Like that almost messes it up.
We didn't need them in this episode.
I think they could have helped.
No, they would have.
Richard. Richard's credited in it.
No, they're both in the always in the opening credits, but they're just not in it.
I think they wanted to say what they wanted to save Emily and Richard to bring the body bags to clean up the mess. I think some hijinks and some funny moments cannot make up one iota for the destruction of these two characters.
And Chris
and this relationship. Dick. Yeah. And you know, now it's in negative territory.
Have we not seen him with his shirt off before? Is that what wigged me out?
We don't want to. Jesus.
He's finally seeing the light.
I mean, I come back because there's parts of Christopher I actually like
all
in
right,
this.
Bye-bye,
Scott.
Scott's
like, I need a.
Just bail out of this thing. sorry, kids, that you had to watch this. We sympathize. Now we're going to need therapy after watching it. All the best fans on the planet. Sorry you had to take all those knives in the back from this episode, but that's just the nature of fandom, I guess. I don't know. Love you guys. Thanks for the downloads. Keep the cards and letters coming. And all you bots out there, just erase yourselves.
Bots, they're not
we
bots.
We have
AI
technology.
I know you're not bots. It's okay.
Now.
I can take it. Bye.
Stay safe, kids. Everybody, and don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.